His goodness and mercy. I want to preach a few minutes tonight from Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19, if you'll go with us there and read a few verses of Scripture. Just been a good day in God's house, hasn't it? And we're so thankful for what the Lord has done for us. I pray that He would help us a few minutes tonight. Revelation 19, if you're able to stand with us, begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation 19, notice with me in verse number 1 here. The Bible says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name that You would help us these next few moments. I pray, God, that You would be pleased with our worship tonight, and God, speak to our hearts and give us liberty, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on the beauty of worship. The beauty of worship. We know that in the early verses of Revelation chapter 19 that we find here in our text tonight that heaven is singing here. And we have the Hallelujah chorus. And I think the question that comes to our mind in this text tonight is, why is heaven rejoicing? Why is heaven so happy in this text particular? Why are they singing and why are they glorifying God? Well, we won't take the time, but you could go back and read Revelation 18 later on, maybe sometime tonight or this week. But what you find in that chapter there is that the enemies have been judged, and that Babylon the Great has fallen, and that God still reigns on the throne, that the bride is ready, and that the King of Kings is soon to come, and that the armies and the kings of the earth will soon be defeated, and the beast and the false prophet are about to be destroyed, and Satan is going to be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 glorious years. Amen. The earth is going to have the curse lifted off of her, and the Son of God is going to rule from the throne of David there in Jerusalem, as He will sit upon the throne, and Israel is going to be the capital of the entire world. Amen. And so there's much reason for heaven to rejoice. I would say tonight that when we think about heaven rejoicing in this text here, it is interesting that when the world is turned upside down and inside out, and when there's been tribulation, and when there's been all kinds of national disasters and earthly disasters and worldwide disasters around the world during the tribulation period, heaven is still singing. Amen. The earth may be turned upside down, but my friend, everything is still all right in our Father's house. They're still rejoicing. They're still glorifying God. What is happened on earth has not changed the atmosphere in heaven one bit. I want to tell you tonight, every one of us has friends and loved ones that have left this walk of life and went to the other life, and thank God they're living in eternity, basking in the sunlight of His love and standing in the midst of His glory. And the good news is that no matter how bad it may get down here, it's not going to change anything over yonder. Amen. Like they sung a few moments ago, on heaven's bright shore, thank God there is no sadness, and there is no sorrow, and there is no suffering, and there is no sickness, and there is no sin, and there is no Satan. Amen. It's just going to be peace and tranquility. It's going to be sunshine without storms. It's going to be mountaintops without valleys. It's going to be, my friend, the glory of God, amen, without the sin of this old world. For all of eternity, heaven's going to be one big long
long church service where God is on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. And we, my friend, in a glorified body with a voice that'll never tire and never grow old, we'll sing the anthem and we'll sing in heaven's choir, my friend, about the redeemed of the Lamb that was slain for our salvation. We'll glorify God throughout eternity. And what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. And the beauty of worship is going to be in heaven. Amen. And when we come to this text tonight in verse number 19, we notice in the beauty of worship that it was heard. Look at verse 19, or chapter 19 and verse number 1. John said, and after these things I heard. Amen. John said, I heard heaven worshiping. I heard heaven rejoicing. Amen. Wouldn't you like to hear heaven rejoice? Wouldn't you like to hear heaven worship? Well, one of these days we're going to. Amen. But until then, you know what we need to do? We need to do on earth what they're doing in heaven tonight. We need to worship. Amen. And John said, I heard it. You know, you can hear worship. Isn't that right? You don't have to go to church. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying tonight, you don't have to go to church where it's so quiet you could hear a baby burp. Somebody say, man, you don't have to go to church where it's graveyard dead and nobody says anything and there's a bunch of long, solemn faces and nobody ever raises their hand unless they want to ask a question. I'm telling you, they can be singing in church. There can be shouting in church. There can be rejoicing in church because, my friend, worship is meant to be heard. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, I think when it comes to worship, it's got to be right. Amen. And we'll say something about that in a moment. But it was heard. And then it was harmonious. Look what the Bible said. John said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people. Now, ain't that interesting that John is liking all of these people unto just one voice? He said, I heard a great voice of much people. Now, how is that possible that that many people could have one voice? The same way when we sing a congregational song, or like when the choir sang tonight, there was many people singing one song, and so it was one voice. It was in harmony, amen, or at least most of it was in harmony. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm telling you, worship needs to be in harmony. When you and I come to the house of God, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. We can't be mad at somebody across the aisle. We can't be pouting. We can't sit in church and say, well, I like this person, I don't like that person. Hey, do you know for every person you dislike, there's two people that probably dislikes you, but they've learned to live with you, so you might as well learn to live with them. Amen. I'm talking about when we come to church, our mind ought to be focused on Jesus Christ. We didn't come to see each other. We didn't come to magnify each other. We didn't come to lift each other up, but we came together tonight to worship God. Amen. We came to lift his name up. And why, my friend, we ought to be harmonious in our worship. Amen. We got to all pull in the same direction, isn't that right? That means we got to have, we got to have the same mind frame. And then I noticed this worship was huge. The Bible said it was much people. Thank God. I like it when one person says amen. And I like it when two people says amen. But Brother Doyle, I like it when about 5 or 10 people says amen. They ought to be amens all over the church, from the front row to the last row. They ought to be hand waves all over the church. You're not waving at me and I'm not waving even at you. But the Bible said, oh, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, all you people of the Lord. I'm telling you, if God gave you a hand and gave you the ability to raise it, you're not going to offend heaven one bit. If you raise your hand and glorify God, the Bible says, let all the people say amen. Hey, that's a Bible word. Jesus Christ is called the amen. And saying amen is just like saying Jesus. It means I agree. It means I'm attentive. It means I appreciate the truth. We ought to say amen to the truth. Now, you know, some people, they like to talk in church. And I'll tell you something, they can only be one preacher. Can I get an amen? I mean, you don't got to have a running commentary while the man of God's up preaching. Isn't that right? I'm telling you tonight, listen, you want to hinder a service, you say, well, I just like to make little comments. Go home and make them later. Amen. But when you're sitting in church, you can't be talking while I'm talking, and I can't be talking while you're talking. If Brother Laddie gets up to testify, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get quiet, and I'm going to let Brother Laddie say what's on his heart. Amen. And when it comes preaching time, you don't have to sit there like a mummy. Amen. But you can't carry on a conversation. I got two preacher friends, and I love them both, but they like to talk in church. And they was in a meeting not too long ago, and they said, let's sit together. I said, not on your life. Amen. I said, I'll sit on one side, y'all sit on the other side, and if you want to run your mouth, go ahead. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, you realize when you and I come to church, and the man of God gets up to preach, and I'm not talking about me necessarily, I'm talking about even when I'm sitting in church, when a man of God's up preaching, they didn't come to hear what I had to say, they came to hear what God laid on that preacher's heart. Amen. That's right, amen. You can swallow it. You can like it, lump it, bump it, jump it, whatever you need to do, friend. I'm just telling you tonight, friend, when it comes to worship, listen, there ought to be some order to our worship. You don't have to be dead. But some people just like to hear themselves talk. Isn't that right? And what I'm saying is worship, it ought to be huge. When we come to church, it's amazing. I have been in church preaching a few times. Would y'all believe this? And I've had to tell people, be quiet while I was preaching. You say, what do you mean? I'm telling you, 15 people can say amen while you're preaching, and it's just like pouring gasoline on the sermon. I'll tell you, when somebody's running their mouth while you're trying to preach, can I get an amen? Might have hit a stump. You know what you do when you hit a stump? You back up and come again. Amen. I'm just going to plow it out real good. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, when I go, I was in a meeting the other day, me and another preacher was preaching together. I amened his preaching, but I wasn't trying to preach while he was trying to preach. Amen. I wasn't trying to talk while he was. Yes, that's right. Amen. I wasn't trying to say something while he was. He had the floor. Let him preach. Amen. I'm just talking about when it comes to church, my friend, there needs to be one voice. Amen. And it's not always Brother Gravely's voice. I got no sense to know. My friend, when people have testified and it's time to go to the house, we're going to go to the house. You say, well, I come to hear preaching. Well, all I can say to you is this. It's not a wasted trip to be faithful to the house of God. Can we get a witness right there? I'm telling you, when there ain't no, listen, when God, when he does something different and the people of God testifies and God tells a preacher, just save that sermon till another time, the best thing he can do is just save it to another time. Amen. I could get up and preach, but sometimes when God is done, all it's going to be is dead. And I've heard preachers say, well, I'm going to preach no matter what, and they can do it if they want to. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit says that's enough, that's enough. Can I get an amen right there? If he says stay till midnight, we're going to stay till midnight. But I'm telling you, if he says go to the house, we're going to the house. Isn't that right? I'm just talking about their worship was huge, much people. But you ought to get involved in it. You say, Brother Gravely, I'm not much with words. That's all right. Amen. You can say amen. That's just one word. You can raise your hand toward heaven every now and then. That don't cost anything. I mean, it doesn't say, you don't have to say a whole lot to be a blessing. And you listen, you ought to give a testimony every now and then. You say, well, I don't really know what to say. If you've been saved, if you'll just get up and say, I'm glad I'm saved. You say, well, that's not much. It is much. Amen. I'll tell you what God will do sometimes. If you'll just do that now and then, I'm telling you sometimes he'll give you something else to say. But if he don't give you something else to say, don't try to make something up. Can I get an amen right there? I'm telling you, it's just like a preacher trying to preach. When God's done, don't testify when it's not time, but don't miss your part neither. Amen. You got to learn to have discernment. You got to learn to have a balance, amen. And you got to learn to be ready, amen. That's how you come to church. And this worship was huge. It was heavenly. The Bible said that much people in heaven, it was holy, amen. Their worship was right. I'm talking about, listen, heaven is worshiping. Our worship needs to be right. It doesn't need to be foolish, amen. I'm telling you, listen, I don't want church to get silly. Somebody say amen right there. I don't like it when people just, you know, take the house of God and turn it into an entertainment, amen. Or maybe they want to turn it into a comedy show. Now, I like to laugh at church, and I think it's all right to have a little bit of humor, but there's a point when you leave out of worship and it just gets plumb silly. Hey, that's not what church is about. Amen. I'm telling you, we didn't come for a comedy show tonight. Can we get an amen right there? We come to worship. We come to magnify. We come to glorify God. And worship don't need to be foolish. I'm telling you, listen, there's some things people do in church. It makes absolutely no spiritual sense whatsoever. Amen. Is that right? I'm talking about songs like The Long Black Train. I was preaching one night in a watch night service. And to beat it all, I was preaching at Ringo Depot down there. And they got up and they started singing The Long Black Train. I said, "Dear God, help me," because I was going to have to preach right behind that mess. And you know God's got a sense of humor. I mean, I thought for a moment I was hearing Hank Williams Jr. up there singing The Long Black Train. And they're singing that song. And so that's one of my favorite songs. Well, we'll talk about that after service. Amen. But I'm telling you, they're singing The Long Black Train. And I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Why, that old fella was singing that song. He is running up and down the neck of that electric guitar. And all of a sudden, would you believe a train? I don't know if it was black, but it sure was long. Amen. It come blowing by that depot that night, and you couldn't hear nothing. He was singing on that last verse. I said, "Thank you, God. You just sent the long black train by his way so we wouldn't have to listen to that mess." Amen. I'm just talking about sometimes church, it just gets plumb foolish. Amen. Ain't just some things not going to go on in the house of God around here. Amen. And then, my friend, it doesn't need to be fake neither. Isn't that right? Brother, I'd rather it be, listen, I don't like dead church, but if that's what it's going to be, I want it to be real, don't you? We're not going to pump it and prime it. I'm not going to get up here for 35 minutes and tell you a bunch of sad stories and try to get your emotions going. Amen. We're not going to have 59 trips to the altar tonight. I'm not against nobody that wants to do that. But the only way I know to have church is the way the Bible says. We're going to come together and sing as a congregation. If somebody's got something on their heart, let them testify, as long as it's in order. Amen. And we're going to magnify God through in song and testimony. We're going to pray. We're going to give in the offering. And we're going to have preaching, amen, and give an invitation for folks to get help. And if nothing else happens, we're going to the house. Can we get an amen right there? There's better ways of dying than being drugged to death. You know that? And I'm just saying tonight, when it comes to church, it needs to be real. It don't need to be fake, amen. Some people act like they're crying, but there is no tears. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, if there's no tears, it's all right. You don't have to fake tears. And God gives you tears, don't be ashamed of them. But don't act like you got tears when you don't. Don't act like you're happy when you're not. Amen. So I ain't happy tonight. Well, then don't testify neither. Somebody say amen. Stay in your seat till you get happy. Amen. If you're depressed, bitter, mad, angry, or any of those things I just mentioned, or anything close to them, you just stay down, sitting down. You'll have another opportunity in another service when you feel a little bit better. But don't kill the church service, amen, by getting up and telling us all your woes and all your sorrows. We all got them. Can I tell you, is that right tonight? Ain't none of us got them like Job had. And Job sat down in the ashes and never one time mentioned his name, and he never one time mentioned the devil's name, but he mentioned the Lord's name three times when he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord." I'm telling you, worship's not about me, and worship's not about you, and worship's not about our sorrows, but worship is all about glorifying God and magnifying him. And our worship needs to be sincere tonight. It don't need to be fake, and it don't need to be fleshly. You know, I've been in services where people would get up and sing. They didn't listen. God help, they didn't have enough clothes on to wad a shotgun with. Amen. And I mean, they can't even walk up the steps right, you know. You call on to sing. Brother Lottie, here's how they got to walk up. Y'all can say amen. I'm going to tell you something. You got to look at the carpet while they sing. They got flesh showing. And we'll get up and sing about Jesus. They don't need to die because I'm preaching on that. I'm telling you, friend, listen, you're going to sing. You need to have some clothes on. Amen. neck to the bottom of the knee. Can we get a witness right there? And if it goes to the ankle, you ain't going to offend me one bit by that neither. Amen. I'm just talking about, friend. Listen, modesty's always in order. Isn't that right? Decency is always in order. We live in an immodest world. We live in a world that is not decent. But if there's one place on earth you ought to be able to go to and not have to bow your head in shame because of something that's being displayed in front of you, it ought to be the house of God. Amen. I'm telling you, people that are saved, I'm not talking about lost people, but people that are saved ought to go to church and they ought to have enough godliness and holiness and cleanliness and integrity and decency and character about them to put some clothes on and look like a Christian tonight. That's the way it ought to be. And worship don't need to be fleshly. That music don't need to be sensual, appealing to the flesh. You know, pulling the heartstrings of emotions. I mean, it needs to be holy. It needs to have doctrine in it. It needs to honor God. It needs to magnify God. Amen. The preacher don't need to be carnal. He don't need, and I'm not telling you I'm Mr. Spiritual, but I want to be. And I tell you, listen, the preacher, if all he wants to talk about is carnal things, he's going to have a carnal congregation. Amen. If he wants to talk about things out there in this world and all kinds of different things of this world, that's the kind of church you're going to have. And we don't need a worldly church, and we don't need a carnal church. Our worship don't need to be fleshly. I'm telling you, friend, it don't need to be about people neither. Some people, they'll shout on one person but won't shout on another. I'm not talking about because something maybe, you know, maybe some situation. I'm talking about they're holding a grudge towards somebody. And I'm telling you something, our worship, if it's really about him, we'll be able to look past the person. I'm not talking about what I said if somebody ain't got clothes on. That's a problem, isn't it? And I'm not talking about if a song's not right. That's a problem. But I'm talking about me sitting in church and saying, well, you know, I don't really care for this person, so I'm just going to kind of, you know, I'm just going to doodle on a notepad right now. No, it don't need to be fleshly. And the other side of that person is, or the other side of that coin should be, you know, it shouldn't be, man, I love this person right here. When they sing, I just get raptured out because they're my best friend in the whole wide world. I mean, we're BFFs forever. And when they get up and sing, I just love them so much. They can't sing wrong. If they sing Yankee Doodle, went to town riding on a pony, it's probably the same pony Jesus rode in right before Calvary, you know. I mean, that's how some people, I mean, they're just sucked into personality. They're just sucked into people, amen. And they don't really know what it is to have any discernment whatsoever. I mean, they just follow them people to the edge of the cliff and think they can't do no wrong, and usually they find out one day that they've been duped. Amen. I'm telling you, our worship tonight needs to be about him. It needs to be based on doctrine. It don't need to be based on flesh. I love you and you love me, but it ain't about me and it ain't about you. I'm telling you, listen, you say, well, I really don't care that much for you. It might be mutual, but hey, we ought to love him enough, amen, to just worship God together. Amen. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter if a man screams and sweats when he preaches or if he stands still. I like having all kinds of preachers in like that, personality wise anyway, don't you? Because I think it keeps us from getting sucked into one mode. People say, you know, you'll hear sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm just a so-and-so fan or I'm just a so-and-so follower. I'm going to tell you, if that's not Jesus, you better get off that wagon in a hurry, friend. I don't care how good that man is. We're all flesh. When it comes down to the end of the day, our worship don't need to be fleshly. It don't need to be formal. Amen. It don't need to be solemn and dead with an order, an odor and everything. So, listen, I believe God is a God of order, and our worship needs to have structure. Our worship needs to have order. When we come to church, it's not going to be chaos in the house of God. Can we get an amen right there? And sometimes people come to our church and other churches and they show up and they want to change the way we worship. Not happening here. Amen. Remember years ago, somebody visited our church, and at the same part of every service at the same time for so many services, they stood up. Now, y'all know I love testifying. We need more of it in our church. And if you've not done it, start doing it. But use discernment. So finally I went to him one day and I said to him, I said, now listen, I don't want to damper your worship, but I love you. But I said, we don't do that here. And they said, well, you don't believe in testifying? I said, you haven't been here long enough. If you come to this church, you know we believe in testifying. I said, but you're not going to do it the same service at the same time. He said, well, that's just my part of the service. I said, not here. I know some of y'all thinking about that.
I'll go get him and bring him back for about 14 services and see what you think about it. It's so redundant and dead. Well, that's just my part. No, it's not your part. You don't never know when God's going to lay a testimony on your heart. He testified this morning. And he might have testified. He might testify tonight before it's over with. So you don't never know. You don't want to get locked in and say, well, that's not it. You got to worship ought to have a structure to it. But you know, formalism goes two ways. There's the dead way of formalism. And then there's the traditional way of formalism where we just think it, and I'm not talking about leaving principles. I'm talking about, well, it just has to be this way because Grandma did it this way. Well, Grandma might not have been right. Boy, I really hit a snag on that one, didn't I? Grandma might have went to church and drank moonshine. I don't make it right. My grandma went to church, listen, and she carried a King James Bible, and I didn't know much about anything, but I just remember she always walked down to Faith Baptist Church there two blocks, and she always had a roses stuck in her Bible, you know, Brother Laddie. But you know what? Mama, that's what we called her, was Mama. But Mama, she is about 92 years old, and she dipped snuff, amen, and Papa chewed a plug every day. He didn't go to church, and I don't know what they knew about God, but I can remember that. But Mama went to church and read her Bible and dipped snuff. Now that don't make it right, does it, Thomas Black, wherever you're at? Amen. That don't make it right just because Mama dipped snuff. So just because something's tradition don't mean that it's always right, amen, if it don't line up with the Word of God. Well, for the few of y'all that are still listening, let me give you this text and we'll go to the house, amen. I'm talking about the beauty of worship. Notice how their worship is in this text tonight. I see the hallelujah of doctrine in verse number 1. The Bible says here that they were saying hallelujah, amen. There's doctrine in their worship, the hallelujah of doctrine. There's a doctrine of deliverance. They said salvation. There's a doctrine of doxology, glory and honor. There's a doctrine of dynamic power. There's a doctrine of deity. They said, Lord God. Did you notice their worship had doctrine in it? I'm going to tell you, when we worship God, it ought to be fundamental. It ought to be supported by the doctrine of God's word. See, it's doctrinal to say amen. It's doctrinal to testify. It's doctrinal to lift your hand in the sanctuary. But sometimes people pick up things. I remember one time years ago at a certain place, a man, whenever he got happy, no matter what church he was in, he grabbed the church flowers and took off with them. And the church he went to, you know what they did finally, because they spent a lot of money on those florals. They tied them down to the thing. He ripped them off anyway. That's not doctrinal. Amen. Take you a lap. Amen. Old Brother Justin took a lap around here the other Sunday night. I like it, don't you? Take another lap around here, but leave the flowers alone. Amen. When you take one. Amen. And one preacher went to him, an older man of God went to him and said, don't ever do that again. He said, and this man believed in old time worship, preached in this pulpit many, many times until he went to heaven. But he went to this young man. He said, don't you ever do that again. He said, that's God's property. That's destroying God's property. He said, you can worship and take a lap. He said, the same thing. You take a lap, but you leave him flowers alone. Amen. I'm talking about we ought to respect the house of God. Isn't that right? While I'm on it, young people, I picked up 14 big rocks out of the parking lot this past week. Let's stop bringing rocks to the parking lot. Can we get an amen right there? I'm just simply telling you tonight that this worship, there's a hallelujah of doctrine. Amen. And then there's a hallelujah of damnation. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, for true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Notice in this verse here that righteous people are rejoicing that the wicked have been judged. Amen. There's the purity of this praise. They call him true and righteous are his judgments. Isn't that right tonight? God's going to judge this world, but it's going to be true and it's going to be righteous. And my friend, it'll always be right. There's the plainness of this praise here. The Bible said he hath judged the great whore. Now, it's not a word that we throw around, but it is a Bible word, and it's fitting in this text here. And I want you to see here that there's the plainness of their praise, and there's the purpose of this praise. He hath avenged the blood of his servants. God is going to take care of his people. And there's the hallelujah of damnation, the hallelujah of doctrine. There's the hallelujah of devotion. Look at verse number 3. And again they said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Notice that it's universal and that it's unified. They did it again. They worshiped in verse 1. They said hallelujah in verse 1. They said hallelujah in verse 2. They said hallelujah in verse 3. You know, you can't worship God too much. Amen. I mean, you can testify, and sometimes the devil said, well, you don't need to testify again. You already testified. You listen, the devil's not keeping record of our worship tonight. Amen. And sometimes you'll shout, and the devil say, well, you know, you shouldn't have shouted. Amen. You made a fool out of yourself. And then if you don't praise God, he'll say, well, you missed a blessing. You'll have to go all week without that blessing. He'll try to talk you out of a blessing, and then he'll shame you if you did. He'll say, you didn't say the right things. You messed that up. I'm going to tell you something. We never say the right things like we want to say, but I think we say what God wants us to say. And our worship is not about being heard by people. It's about honoring God and magnifying him and lifting up his name. Amen. I don't think we ought to just tell everything in church. Is that right? There are some things that should never be told in church. Just because it happens, it doesn't need to be talked about, doesn't need to be said. But I'll tell you, if we just glorifying God, magnifying Jesus, lifting his name up, I'm talking about that's the devotion that we give. When it comes to worshiping God, it doesn't need to be about what people see or about what people think. Amen. I am conscious in a congregation, you are too, that there's other people around, and we should be conscious of other people. Amen. We ought to be courteous of other people, even when in a worship service. But our devotion is to be to God. To him. You know, if you sing specials, you ought to practice, because God deserves your best. You don't just get up and say, no, if I call on you to sing and you didn't have time to practice, that's okay. And if you mess up, you just got called off the cuff, and so that's understandable. But I'm talking about, don't be a lazy singer. It's why, I don't really have to practice. Yes, you do. You just think you don't. Can I get an amen right there? That'd be like me saying, well, I don't really have to study. Oh, yes, I do have to study. Well, you preached that verse before. I've sung that song before. I just sing. I preached John 3:16, but I'm not going to preach it unless I'm called off the cuff by the Lord. But if I was to read John 3:16 this week and the Holy Ghost said, I want you to preach John 3:16, I'm not just going to fold my Bible and say, well, I'll just preach John 3:16 Sunday. No. Now, if he told me to preach it right there, that's one thing. But I think he'll make the difference up and he'll help me right there. But if he tells me that on Wednesday or Thursday, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a place and I'm going to open and I'm going to study John 3:16 again. I'm going to read some commentaries, read some books. I'm going to see if there's something else God wants to tell me about John 3:16, because just like you said, you can't exhaust the Bible. You can't exhaust the scriptures. And even if it is the same thing being said that's always been said, it'll be fresh if I study, but it'll be stale if I don't. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the way it is with singing. You're to practice. You're to give God your best. And when it comes in here, you need to have spent time practicing. But after you've practiced, I don't care if you butcher the song. It's not about your talent. It's not about, well, I hit every single note, I performed well. It's not worship. It's about singing from your heart. God, I gave my best. And isn't that the way it is? Sometimes you'll practice and you'll sing it 20 times and have it right. Then you'll get up here and forget the words. Anybody ever done that? That's the way it is with preaching. Sometimes you'll get a sermon, you'll study it for hours, you think, man, they're going to be hanging from the chandeliers on this message, and I'm telling you, you won't be 5 minutes in, you'll be looking for an exit faster than they are, amen? And God lets things like that happen, I think, to just keep us where we need to be at. Keep us depending on him. The hallelujah of devotion, then let me close with this. There's the hallelujah of dominion. Look what he said in verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. Look at this. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Say, Brother Gravely, how do you know God's still on the throne? Because when we get to Revelation 19, he's still on the throne. He's going to be on the throne then. You can rest assured he's going to be on the throne right now. The Bible says in Psalms 97, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. That's what's happening in verse 6. The praise of him as a multitude. They praised him as many waters, and they praised him mightily. The Bible said it's a mighty thundering. Amen. And I think about this worship, the beauty of this worship is that it involved a chorus in verse 1 and 2. They were singing. It involved a congregation in verses 1 and 4. You know what? We can get off and we can worship God individually, and we're supposed to, and we should, but I like congregational worship, don't you? I mean, you can worship in your daily Bible reading and prayer, and we should. We ought to thank God, amen, and we ought to think about his blessings. You know, I was sitting in the chair this afternoon there at the house for a few moments and looking out the window, and I don't know, this thought just crossed my mind. I thought about my life. God has given me everything just about it that I've ever asked him for, Brother David. I mean, I know there's things I prayed about that I didn't need and he didn't give them to me. But I'm telling you, he gave me the wife I prayed for. And I asked God to give us good children that would serve God and live for him and marry good and have son-in-laws that would love God and serve the Lord. And he's done that. And I've asked God to years ago, Lord, if you'd just let me serve you, I don't care if it's mopping floors. I don't care if it's cleaning toilets. I just want to serve you. And God's let me do that all these years. And I know tonight I'm nothing, but I'm just telling you, I just want to go on record publicly tonight. I ought to be dead and in hell, but I'm telling you, God, he has blessed my life. He has blessed my family. He has blessed my home. He has been so good to me. I'm telling you, if you took my life out tonight, all I could do when I get to heaven is say, dear God in heaven, you've been so wonderful. You have blessed me, and I'll spend eternity. I'm thanking you for saving my soul and just blessing me along life's way. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah to his holy name. He is wonderful. He is good. He is worthy to be praised. He is better to us than what we deserve. We don't deserve him tonight, but it's been good to us. Hallelujah. I don't deserve one thing God's ever given me. He's let me preach. And I don't even care where. I'm telling you, to preach in a nursing home, to preach in a jail, what an honor to preach the Word of God. What an honor tonight. To be in a good church, to worship with my family. I hope God lets me stay here. I heard of a man the other day. Brother Alan Barker was preaching for Brother Roy Green, I think was his name. He just turned 100 years old, still pastor in a Baptist church. Can you believe that? And when I heard that, I said, well, hallelujah. By the grace of God, I want to do that. Amen. I'd like to be 100 years old, still aggravating y'all. Amen. But I thought about, you know, even if I'm not, if I could just come in here and sit down and be amongst God's people, I'll still be thankful, won't you, just to be here. I don't deserve to be here tonight. You don't either. I'm talking about too many times the devil robs us. He gets our minds on everything else and everybody else, and we don't worship like we're supposed to. You have to, Brother Lady, I think you said this morning. I appreciate it. You have to prepare for worship. I realize sometimes you get off work last minute and you rush in. That's commendable. But you have to prepare for worship. You have to get up and get yourself ready early enough and prepare yourself for the house of God. And you have to prepare yourself through the week, because worship isn't just at church. It's at home. It's at home. Your children, they need to see you prepare yourself. What I mean by that, they need to see you sitting in the living room or wherever you sit with an open Bible. They need to see you on your knees sometimes in prayer. Not a show, but they need to know that's just how it is. They need to grow up knowing that's just how it is. That's what Daddy does. That's what Mama does. Because that's what they'll do. You can preach it to them all day long, But if they see it and they know that's real, they'll want to get a hold of it tonight. And then when you come to church, I say this in closing. Miss Allen, if y'all come. I remember when we was members at Tilton Baptist Church and went to school 4 hours a night, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And worked in the back of a carpet mill 12 hours a day. I remember them days. And get off work on Wednesday night at 6:30. My wife had picked me up. We were rushed to the church, two little kids and babies in the back seat. Been in that meal like most men in meals, sweating all day. But I was going to be in church on Wednesday night. And I didn't come, you know, marching down to the front always. Didn't come in with a suit on. And I'd sit there in church a lot of times on Wednesday nights, can I be honest? And I know you can relate to this. Physically wore out. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Mind just shot from the day, you know, just everything. You've been there. But I can't tell you the times sitting there, and I'd say this to myself. I'd say, well, old Brother Bruce tonight, I hope somebody will amen him. I thought, I'm just too tired to say amen tonight. See, I was in school and didn't know it. I was in school and didn't know it. Because I'd sit there on Wednesday nights, you know, smelled bad, sweated out, wore out. I'd say, oh, Brother Bruce, somebody else have to amen him tonight. I'm not going to hang with him tonight. It's just a miracle I'm in church. And he'd get to preaching and the Holy Spirit would say, you can't do that. You can't do that to that man. He's feeding you the Word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit tell me. You can't do that. He's labored and he's studied and he's prayed. And he's prayed for you, and I've let you come here. You're tired. But you can get with your preacher for about 30, 40 minutes and amen him. And I don't know how many times me and the Lord had that conversation. And the Lord said, you give him some amens, and I'll bless you for it. And you know what would happen when he's preaching? I'd be saying amen. I really didn't have a heart in it, but I knew it was the duty to do that. And so I'd just start saying amen. And the more I'd amen that preaching, guess what? The better I'd feel. I'm telling you the truth tonight. God was blessing me for just staying with the man of God. And he taught me something I did not know, but I was going to need it when I came here. He taught me as a preacher, don't you ever go to church and not worship. Don't you ever go to church and not get involved. Did I run the aisle every Wednesday night? Why, no. Was I just raptured out? No. But I stuck with the preacher. No matter how tired I was, I stuck with him. And when I came to this church, I didn't know how bad I was going to need that. But when you're the pastor, and it ain't about you, I understand that. But listen to me. If I sit here like an old dead, and I don't get raptured out every service here neither. But if I just sit here like an old deadhead, you know what? It hinges. I don't care what no preacher in America says. If the preacher's dead, the church is going to be dead. Now, a bunch of dead preachers will get a hold of this and get mad about it. But I'm telling you, and probably some dead church members will get mad about it. But I'm telling you, you know, part of your responsibility of a pastor is to lead the congregation into worship. Right. No, it's not about me. It's about the Holy Ghost and Him. But I'm telling you, the pastor needs to pray. He needs to be led by God. And he doesn't know every part of the service what the Lord's doing. But if God's going to speak to somebody, He is going to tell the pastor what's going on. Am I right about that? And he's got to lead that congregation. And he's got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know when that's right and when that's wrong and when that needs to go on and when that doesn't need to happen ever again. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. If we don't have that, I'm telling you what's wrong with a lot of churches, amen. A lot of them just threw up their hands and quit tonight, and people have quit saying amen. People have quit shouting. People have quit worshiping God. And I'm telling you, listen, we got to rise above the circumstances, and I'm trying to quit, but the more I'm preaching, the better I'm feeling, amen. I'm telling you, we got to get above the circumstances. We got to get above our problems. We got to get past our past. We got to get past what's going on in our life. We need some young people that'll get a hold of this tonight.
tonight. You need to get a good dose, a good old-fashioned dose of just reaching out and stepping out and getting full of God and worshiping Him. And it starts with an amen. It starts with a hand being raised. It starts with a testimony. That's where it starts. But thank God that's not where it ends. Hallelujah. Try Wednesday night. Testify. Many of you do. Just try it on Wednesday night. You'll be nervous, but everybody is. Just try it on a Sunday night. Just try it. Watch God do something in your life. Just get up and thank Him. Tonight as we stand. One of the biggest fears I think we should have for our church is that we don't settle in and just get in a rhythm and a routine and just say this is how it is. We don't need our church to be a well-oiled machine. That's not what we need. Our church needs to be plugged in to heaven's portals and our eyes fastened on Jesus, and we need to worship Him. Because He's worthy tonight of it. It's a worship service. Father, bless this invitation.